for the choir director, for flute accompaniment. It's a Psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. Amen. Let us pray. Father, how good to be in your house and to be able to talk to you. And yes, to know that no matter where we are, we can talk to you. Lord God, thank you for another week. For Diane and I, it's been very different. Lord, you know what's been going on back here at home. And you know illnesses that have been here and there. You know ones who are away. Father, we are here to hear from you. We are here to meet with you. We are here to talk to you. And thank you again that you give us that privilege and that opportunity. So Lord, open up this psalm and teach us. Teach us about David, but more than that, teach us about ourselves as we see once again what you have for us, that we might know you better and consequently serve you. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking of the old camp song. That just came to my mind. It wasn't in my notes. But it was the old camp song that said, I guess it's taken from the army, the military. Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I hate to get out of bed. I don't know what it's like for you. How do you face the mornings? I know for many it's, don't pull off the covers. Don't put on the lights. The warmth, the sleep. Maybe it's just the escape from, oh yeah, there's that coming today. That can be almost anything. Maybe it's the boss and a meeting you're going to have with him. Maybe it's the school teacher, even if it is a parent who homeschools is to be a teacher with authority as well as a parent, as well as being under God. But you didn't do your homework. You didn't read the assignment. And now it's settle up time. The morning. Maybe it's the house that needs to be cleaned. Maybe it's a phone call that has to be made. Maybe it's a confrontation with a person. But not this morning. Not today. Put it off. Put it off. Put it off. I'm not sure I can handle it. What's it like for you? For others, there's the excitement, the expectation, the new day opportunities, the opportunity to grow, the adventure of what's coming next. We're all different. Some of us need more sleep than others. Biological, what we're used to, difficult to say. But how do you face the morning? For God's children, there has to be a need, there should be a need to begin each day with Him. I'm reminded of Romans 12:1. I beseech you, I beg of you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice. I remind you, that's not just a one time. I gave my life to God back then. But every day is a new opportunity, a new responsibility. and possibly a new testing. Am I going to live for myself today? Am I going to live for God? Every day, a new opportunity. God, what do you have for me? How should I live it out? God's children need to bring everything before our God. We have that privilege if we have the right relationship with Him. David, well, God called him a man after my own heart. We know about his sins. We also know about his repentance. And we know about his desire to live for God. And so there was a closeness there. And as he writes this here, this psalm, we don't know the specifics of what was going on in his life. But he definitely had problems. He definitely had concerns. He definitely was, in a sense, uptight about it. And consequently, I must tell Jesus. I must tell my God. He didn't know the name Jesus back then. But the Lord is my shepherd. He definitely knew that. And Messiah, the Christ, looking for him. No, David knew, I need to begin the day by talking to God. Now, that's good for all of us, and I trust we do it. Whether you've got a rough day ahead that you know about, or whether you think it's going to be an easy day, as you go through the day, it doesn't turn out to be as easy as you had hoped or thought it might be. No, David writes this psalm. It's a morning prayer. And I want us to examine it that we might see what he went through, that we might see again what he has for us to learn about how I must tell Jesus needs to be more of a reality in our lives. So notice with me how we attack a new day. Notice first the call to God. The call to God here in the first three verses comes for him in the morning. When you get down to verse 3, we read it already, but twice he mentions, in the morning, O Lord, in the morning I will, in the morning, in the morning, the first thing. Apparently he's had a good night's rest. I don't know. But Psalm 5 numerically follows Psalm 4. And in Psalm 4, verse 4, he shares here the second part of verse 4, meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Think about God. Think about his character. Think about his promises. Think about him as you're lying in bed and be still. And then you come down to verse 8 of Psalm 4. And again, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. The way to go to bed is thinking about God. The way to go to bed is to remember his promises and his relationship and his goodness to you, and to sleep on that. And when the morning comes, once again, to go right back to our God. And so here in the morning, we're going to call upon God. It comes in the morning, this morning prayer. Secondly, it comes with earnestness. It comes with earnestness. It's not a repetitious prayer. Again, one of the prayers I learned as a little boy, as a real little boy, was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. A repetition. There's nothing necessarily wrong with repetition unless it's just done because it's repetition. And without realizing the words, our Norwegian prayer that we often start with, and often it'll be added to at the end, which is by rote, and there's several of them I have in Norwegian that we use. But if you're not too careful, it's just run through it as fast as possible, rather than to, again, think on the words. But this here is a cry that comes with emotion. It comes from his heart. It comes very specifically, and he wants to make sure, as I call upon God, that God hears me. You notice here, his call to attention, give ear. Give ear is figuratively, when I'm sitting over here in Sunday school sometimes, and people over here sometimes, and sometimes even closer, there are times I'll reach out like this and try to make my ear larger than it is, because I can't hear. And that's basically, bend the ear. Oh God, listen, I'm talking to you now. Give ear. Again, heed in verse 2 means to prick up the ear. Lift it up. And God doesn't have ears. We know that. He doesn't have eyes. He's spirit. But it's figure of speech. God, there's much on my heart right now. Are you paying attention to me? I know you do, but I just want to make sure. God, give ear. Give heed to what I'm about to say. Consider. Consider, God. I want you to think about this, God. I want you to think about my basis for why I'm calling upon you right now. What it is that concerns me so much, that disturbs me so much, what's running through my mind, and perhaps it disturbed my sleep last night. So I want you to consider what I'm about to say to you. I want you to think about why I am so concerned. I want you to evaluate what I'm asking. So that if I'm asking something which is right, then grant it, God. If I'm asking something that isn't right from your perspective, then God, say no. Deny my request, what I'm asking. So God, consider it. Think about it, God. Because it's very much on my emotions, on my mind, on my being. But also, God, if what I'm asking you to do is not complete, if you see there's something else that should be done than what I'm requesting, consider it, God. Consider it. A quote I came up with, it's not mine, but when I'm praying, don't just give instructions to my God, but report for duty. Again, understand my position. I'm your ambassador. I'm your representative. That's everyone who was born again. And so, Lord, I want, yes, I've got concerns. We're going to get into them in a moment. But God, I want to be here as a faithful one that I might respond and live in such a way that, yes, that I am growing, but that it brings glory to you and your will be done, not mine, and not my desires necessarily. So God, consider. Earnestly, I'm asking you this. Then, as we examine the manner of his approach, we see again, yes, words are used. That's how we communicate. We use words. We know there are times when I just can't get it out. I just can't put the words together. And Romans 8, we'll mention that in a moment, verse 26, where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. But by and large, it's verbal communication. That's in our homes. That's on the job. That's in school. By and large, it's verbal. And so there are words that are used here. But also groanings. The word groanings here is a difficult word. It's a sighing from the heart. Sighing. Oh God. Oh God. So fervent, I can't get the words out. And that's where, again, we are told in Romans 8, 26, that because we are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and when things are so heavy and so down and so difficult that I'm not sure what to ask, I'm not sure how to say it, that the Holy Spirit not only knows us, but he knows the Father. Father God, the Holy Spirit can say, here is what this one needs. Here is this one, or what this one is going through and what needs to be expressed. And so there are words that are used, there are groanings, and then he says, I cry for help. A loud, earnest call. Eagerly seeking a response from God. So God, listen to me now. Times are tough. Hear my need and my call. In the morning, with earnestness. In an intimate relationship. You notice again the text here as we look at it in verse 2, where he shares, heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. I run to a Southern gospel song again. He's my personal Savior. And then it redundantly says, he's mine, mine, mine. He's mine, mine, mine. And that is the relationship we are to have with our God. Yes, he is the God of everyone who is his child. He is the God of those who are not his children. He alone is God. But he has constructed us to have relationship with him. He longs for us to have relationship with him. And we cheat ourselves, we rob ourselves when we don't have that relationship. The old hymn so often requested in nursing homes, so many today probably don't even know it. I come to the garden alone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other except for those who are his children, who are in this intimate relationship with him. Again, I can't encourage you enough to have that relationship with him. As we traveled on the plane in different places, I got to golf once, borrowed clubs. I played terribly. I actually hit a ball into Mexico. I wasn't trying to. That's out of bounds. But again, an opportunity there with, turned out, two who are Christians. But in the clubhouse, we were talking, and they found out there was a gentleman, a Hispanic gentleman, and then there was a woman there. At first I thought it was his wife, but there's no connection that way with those. She just works there. But he found that I came from New York, and he wanted to know about pizza in New York. Is it true about pizza? And I gave him my background that up until about the age of 20, I didn't want anything to do with pizza. I love it now. But again, 90-degree temperature, 90% humidity in the city of New York, and you look at that pizza, and to me, it's this yellow and red stuff all over the place, and not nice and neat. It's just there, and it looked like someone just went, ugh. That was my understanding of pizza growing up, okay? I'm different. I realize that. So we were talking about it with a gentleman, and he asked me then, you know, what is it that I like the most? What is it I like the most? I just simply said, I like Jesus. I like Jesus. Whoa. Opened up a conversation. And had a chance to share the gospel with them. And ask about them. And the lady there, yes, that's right. Apparently she is a Christian. I got to talk to her about her church. And he, of course, he was a Christian too, but not really. Didn't understand the gospel. That was obvious. But talking to her. Again, as we're there, God, give me opportunities, give me words. We had the chance on the plane. Diana had a number of conversations, 2-3 hours with a woman just returned from Holland as we waited in one airport. And I got on a plane with a lady, Rosa, married to Roberto. He is from El Salvador, and she is from Mexico. And got to talk to her. And again, Lord, you're my Savior, my personal Savior. I want her to know that too. And after talking to her and sharing the gospel with her, she said, you're the second one in this last week who has spoken to me about being born again. Turned out that her sister, they come from Colorado Springs, and 7 minutes away from her house, her sister, I don't know if she's married, but she herself goes now to a Baptist church, and she tried it once. A little more than a week ago, and the pastor must have spoken to her personally about her salvation experience. God opens up these opportunities. God, yes, it is intimate relationship we have with you, my King, my God, my Savior, my one that I can talk to about anything, and every one of us is to have that opportunity to do just the same thing. Not only that, but we're in Psalm 5, but you look here, in the morning, verse 3, O Lord. Lord in English, it's Yahweh. It's Jehovah, Yahweh. And again, it's the covenant God who calls himself Yahweh. Covenant relationship, a pact with him and the individual that we are to have here. And consequently, we can have an understanding that he has bound himself to his children, never to leave us, always to be there, wanting to help us, wanting to guide us, discipline us, yes, loves us always as his children. And so this morning prayer comes with earnestness, comes with an intimacy because of that ongoing, growing relationship. Fourthly, it comes explicitly. It comes explicitly here as we look at it. I will, verse 3, order my prayer. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you. What you've got here is the fellow out in the woods early in the morning. And there's a deer, a buck. I can't see from here. 6, 8 points? Can't see. But what you do is you get the arrow, and I'm going to order it and direct it, make sure I'm on target, back, send it right out. And that's what he's doing with his prayer. I'm going to direct my prayer. I'm going to order it. It's used, that word there is used for priests. First thing in the morning, responsibility. I've got to get the wood and get it on the altar at the temple and make sure I put it right. I've got to get the bread and put it, the showbread, and put it on the table. Make sure it's set right. I'm going to make sure explicitly I'm right on target on the responsibilities I have. God, this is coming to you, and it's coming from my heart earnestly, emotionally wrapped up. Hear my prayer. Open up your ears, God, lovingly saying that, honorably saying that. But God, you've got to know there's a lot weighing on me right now. And so we come with that type of a prayer. Well, one more point here in his call to God. It comes expectantly. He's got faith. He's got hope. He's looking. Notice verse 3. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. I believe that's the better reading of it. You will hear it. I'm confident. Confident. John writes that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. You will hear me, God. I'm coming now in this manner as I call on you, my God. The call to God. Verses 1 to 3. Second, the foundation is hope. Verses 4 to 7. The foundation is hope based on God's character. You, verse 4, Psalm 5, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. God, you want nothing to do with sin. I've got a problem, it's because of people, we'll get to that in a moment, and the people are sinning right and left. You want nothing to do with that. That's your character. So I can come to you as I am directing my prayer. Psalm 66, 18. Oh yeah, that's the other side. Psalm 66, 18. If I, forget my enemies, they're sinful, but if I regard wickedness in my heart, Lord, you told me there. You will not hear. I've got to watch myself, my motives, my behavior, my thoughts, as well as my actions. Yes, 1 Peter 1, 16. God's standard for me too. You shall be holy, for I am holy. No evil dwells within you. But God, you want the same thing for all of your children, don't you? And we all fail. We all fail. Again, things we do, things we say, whatever. Oh God, boy, do I need you. God, help me. Help me to examine myself on a regular basis. Help me again to come repenting on a regular basis. Because my confidence is in your character. But your character, which does not change, wants my character to change, that I be more like you. And so as I pray, again, help me to be aware of and to be growing. It's based on God's character. Second, flat statement, there's no hope for the sinner. Notice verse 5 and 6 as we describe the sinner here. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. The boastful. The word boast, root comes from to praise. Who am I praising when I am boastful, praising myself? I'm lifting my... That's what the opposition is doing. Praising themselves. Foolishly, arrogantly, but praising themselves. And this one lies with his tongue, commits bloodshed with his hands. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. No, there's no hope for them because of the way they live. They are further identified down in verse 8 as these people are my foes, my enemies. That's who they are. They're doing this against me. But hold it. They're not just doing it against me. Because I am yours, they're doing it against you, God. So my hope is because of your character, because of what you want me to be doing and growing, that God, I have hope. They cannot because of the way in which they live. Yes, There's hope for God's man. There is hope for God's man here. And so we see again what he has to say. The enemies will see the response of God. Verse 5, notice what it says here. They shall not stand before your eyes. Wicked can't stand before you. No hope for them. Good hope, that is. Verse 6, God, you're going to destroy. You destroy those who speak falsehood. And again, we've read it before, but the Lord abhors, the Lord hates these who are like that. No, humbly he comes. Notice in verse 7, as for me, not my enemies, the way they're living, but as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, your hesed, your grace, your mercy, because of this, I'm going to enter your house. I'm going to enter your house at your holy temple. Now, we got to remember here, holy temple, it's the habitation of where God is and where he's promised to be and to meet with us. Even as we come to God's house, he's promised as we gather together, he'll meet with us. But the temple has not been built yet. We've got the tabernacle. But it's that place of meeting with the Lord that weighs upon him. Psalm 27, verse 4. Some of us have memorized that. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold the beauty. Oh, we have a chorus like that, don't we? Are you embarrassed singing that chorus? Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face, your grace, your mercy. You is what I seek after. What if there's no one like you? Do you pray like that? Do you use loving words for your relationship with God? David had no problem with that. But he comes humbly, but boldly. And we too are told to come and pray boldly. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Come with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. David has needs. And as we started out before some of you got here, we talked about waking up in the morning and, oh boy, another day. And whatever you may have to face that you're not looking forward to. David had one of those days. But again, he comes calling on God in the morning. And he comes now, we see, with hope as we move forward. Yes, our hope is based on God's character and his heart bent toward us when we seek to walk with him, to live with him, to live for him. The call to God, the foundation is hope, and then finally, the request. Let's get specific here. Lead me in your righteousness, verse 8. O Lord, lead me in your righteousness, yes, because of my foes. Your righteousness, the right way to live. Give guidance. I can trust you. Perhaps I can't trust my friends. Friends can desert and leave. But Jesus, the old song says, never fails. Better than the old song is the word of God. Again, I am with you always, always. I will never leave you or forsake you. Regardless of the darkness of the night or the problem that's there that awaits you as you start out the new day or as you're looking into the future, and I'm not sure how I can handle the future financially, health-wise, whatever it might be, once again to recognize, lead me in your righteousness, your righteous ways. In his character of righteousness, but also his righteous ways, his right ways. That's his first request. Secondly, make your way straight before me. Straight. Unimpeded if possible. You're able to take the circumstances that I can't stumble or I will fall over. Remove them. Straighten them out. Or help me to get through them. Because I can't do it on my own. In Isaiah chapter 40, we have some precious promises there. I'm going to read verses 3 to 5 of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain, a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Lord, that's my desire. Make straight my day today. Help me with the circumstances and the obstacles that seem to be there. That was his prayer, as well as lead me in your righteousness. Third, hold my enemies guilty. Some people struggle with a prayer like that. It's almost imprecatory, a cursing psalm, bringing God's curses down upon them. Is it vindictive? I would say no. In my readings and studies, looking at it, it appears David desires God's holiness to be demonstrated. Once again, we see the life of that which is around us. And again, as we mentioned there, 4 visitors from the Carolinas apparently, kidnapped, 2 of them dead, the other 2 brought to the hospital apparently. I haven't heard the latest. But Lord, there's so much around. So much around. They are rebellious against you, God. You must deal with them again because of your character and because of the promises that you will. Every sin will be revealed. Every sin will be revealed. Every sin will be judged. Every sin will be punished. And that would be scary if we had to pay for our sins ourselves. Unless we come repentant under the blood of Jesus, he has paid for that. Unless we do that, the punishment falls on us. Yes, hold my enemies guilty. Is he self-righteous? No. He's asking for mercy. Basically what he's saying is, this is the way they're living. Let them fall in their own traps. That's a theme throughout many of the Psalms. Psalm 7, verse 15, is it? Psalm 7, verse 15, he has dug a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he made. Some of you are familiar with trapping certain types of animals again. Dig a hole, cover it over, get the animals to come. You know where the hole is. They don't. Down they go, they're trapped. Again, an example of falling in one's own trap. 7, verse 15, look at 9, chapter 9, right on the same page for me. Chapter 9, verse 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, in the net which they hid. Their own foot has been caught. They trapped themselves. You find the same thing over in Psalm, is it 35, I want to say? Psalm 35 and verse 8. Psalm 35, verse 8. Again, that same theme there. Again, how people can easily think they're going to get someone else and they wind up in their own traps. 35, verse 8. Let destruction come upon him unawares. Let the net which he hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. Again, the prayer is there for the guilty, the enemies. God, deal with them. Galatians, Paul writes, doesn't he? What a man sows, he will reap. His enemies are sowing trouble. They'll reap the same from a God who is holy and just. But then finally, the reward for the righteous in verses 11 and 12. Who are the righteous? As you look at the character of the righteous in verses 11 and 12, they are those who take refuge in him, is what we read. We flee to God. We flee to God. You remember, some of you kids remember, as a boy running home from youth group, I would run. Okay, Lord, here we go. I'm running with you, getting home that way. Yes. Also, they are the ones who love his name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. Jesus, Jesus. Again, let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. May you shelter them, those who love your name, that they may exalt in you. And what do they receive? The joy, the gladness, and the shelter surrounded by his favor. A morning psalm to start out the day when you're not sure what's there. Call upon God. Your foundation is hope because of his character and what he has promised. And then bring your request there as well. Amen.